Jillian Ray is our feature for our first Center Stage Minnesota concert of 2020. She and her band will be in Grand Rapids tomorrow night, January 16th, for a show starting at 7 o'clock. Tickets are available at rifecenter.org, or you can call the box office at 218-327-5780. Hey, Jillian, you've had quite a year. You've toured all over with the Okie Dokie Brothers, released your second album, which got write-ups all over the state, and you've played so many shows with some really top-notch musicians in Minnesota. What are some highlights for you outside of that greatness?
Oh my gosh, you just nailed all the highlights. Like, that is the greatness.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, totally. I mean, the release show for this record, it's pretty wordy. I can't be the one you want me to be. That was definitely a highlight. There was a lot of twists and turns involving the release of the record. So I thought I was going to release it about a good year earlier than I did. So to see that finally come to fruition was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it looked like such, it was at the Cedar.
Yeah, it was like one of my favorite venues of all time. So that was amazing.
They're a venue in the cities that very much fit what we play at KAXE, KBXE. Like, all of their shows are people that we've played. So it's always,
totally.
I love checking out their lineup there. So this album, I Can't Be the One You Want Me to Be, was released. It did end up getting released in early 2019. How was that one different for you? It's obviously a different sound, a little bit more amped up with a full band. How did you approach songwriting differently on this one than like Heartbeat?
Well, it's funny. Oh, the songs on this record are actually as old as Heartbeat. I know for sure one of them I was playing out at around the time that I released Heartbeat, which was, of course, a little bit after I recorded the record.
Which song?
But and I don't think, actually. That's okay. Like the oldest one, I want to say, on the record. But then it comes full circle because the last song, not Wanderlust, listen to me, Wayward One, it's another W song. That one I didn't actually finish until I was in the studio. So Matt Patrick, my co-producer on the record, he actually helped me fill out the bridge and we like finished that song together. I just knew that it needed to be on the record. So really it was more of a sonic approach than a songwriting approach. Hmm. I would say the content of the songs all fit together just in this, I can't be the one you want me to be, like, let's let go of caring so much about what other people think kind of mantra. Mm-hmm. And then everything else just kind of fell in and I just, you know, for some reason, I never really gave myself full permission until this record to just do whatever I want. Mm-hmm. I always was trying to like stick in like a folk zone or an alt country zone or like an Americana zone. And for this one, I thought I'm going to play a ton of violin, obviously, but I'm going to play around with all the instruments that are my favorite toys and just put anything I want on this record to just make each song the best that it can be. So yeah, it was a pretty different approach, but some of the songs, I'm telling you, they were a long time coming.
That's a little fun bit of info about Wayward One, because that's one of my favorite songs in the album.
Oh, thank you. I love that one too.
Oh, my wayward one.
So can you tell me about who you played with on this album and how you kind of got your team together, your band?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I have played with, you know, a huge variety of amazing musicians mm-hmm. over the years. And the lineup that I had been playing with live for the most part at that time was myself and Eric, my husband, obviously on guitar, Jimmy Osterholt on bass. And then Alex Young on drums. I'm sorry, Alexander Young. He likes to go by Alexander. We just had come off of releasing my EP, Wanderlust, which none of them other than Eric recorded on that record, but we were working up the live show and we were performing live a lot and just the chemistry that we had together at the time. And we kind of were all into this idea of getting a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. The guys were all digging on the fact that I, you know, was playing around with synthesizers at the time. So it just seemed like the best team to put together. And then bringing Matt Patrick in, a fun fact there, the When Doves Cry tribute single that I released,
yeah.
You know, the year prior, that was kind of, I don't know if I realized it at the time, but it was almost like an audition process with Matt, because I had heard of his studio. I've heard a ton of great songs and records come out of it. And everybody who talked about this guy just had rave reviews that he's just this great person to work with. So I thought, let's make this one Doves Cry single. So we recorded it live, and we actually made a video too. So the music video that you see for that is us making the track in the studio. And that was just such an amazing process. I just came away from that knowing, like, this is who I want to make my next record with. So it all just kind of came together in the most natural way possible, actually. It just took a long time to get it done.
Yeah. You kind of alluded to playing. I mean, you play in Corpse Survivor, which we just had you guys at this last spring, and which is old time and traditional music. You have played with, I said, Okie Dokie Brothers. You play with Too Many Banjos, which I have a question about in just a moment.
Yeah.
So do you play, that's a lot of different, sort of in the same house, but all different sounds. And then your record is obviously different. Do you approach the way you play, like, violin differently in the different groups that you play in? And when you guest with other people, do you approach that differently?
God, that is a good question. I have to think about that, I guess, for a minute. I think no matter what kind of, I guess, let's use the word genre, as much as I hate having to, like, choose genres and fit into one, like, if I'm playing, you know, classical music, I'm obviously going to approach it in a certain way that might be different than when I'm playing bluegrass or, you know, my own stuff. But I think at the end of the day, my playing is unique to me in the same way that, like, you know, anybody's instrumental playing is unique to themselves.
Right.
Like, I'm going to use my friend Ryan Young as an example. He plays fiddle in Trampled by Turtles, a band we all know and love, right?
Right.
And I feel like no matter what he's playing on, when you hear that fiddle, you know, like, that's Ryan, right? I mean,
totally.
I do. I think most people do, right? So I think there is definitely a level of that. I'm sure that you can tell between, you know, Too Many Banjos and Okie Dokie Brothers, and maybe even, like, my more country stuff. You can probably tell that it's all me, but I'm a song adapter. I really just love, like, catering to the individual song and doing what that song needs. So sometimes if it's going to be more old-timey fiddle style, or sometimes if it's going to be more, like, perfected classical style, I'm just going to do what the song needs to the best of my ability.
Were you classically trained in violin?
Yeah. I am one of those crazy Suzuki kids that started at a young age and never stopped.
Too Many Banjos, let's go back to this for a moment. This is the group it's Mark Gartman, Dave Carroll, also of Trampled by Turtles, and Steve Garrington of Low. What I hear, there's a little rumblings. You guys have just played a couple shows, which you haven't for a long time. And what's going on?
Well, that is a question that I often ask myself as well. So I guess a tiny backstory, Too Many Banjos is actually the first original music band that I ever joined. I was, like, super heavy into classical music, and I had just gotten out of getting my music degree. So I was playing in, like, a bajillion orchestras at around that time. And then I decided I just needed a break to figure things out, and I moved to Duluth. And I just so happened to meet Mark and Dave. I think they were playing in the apartment building below mine, and they saw me carrying my violin. I think I was coming back from an audition, actually. And I just literally, like, hey, is that a violin? You should come in here and play with us. So I did. And that's how that started. So we played for several years, and I know even after I left the band, which wasn't for any dramatic reason other than I had been living in Minneapolis for several years, and it just got harder and harder to, you know, maintain a schedule with the band that was based out of Duluth.
Right.
As I got busier. So, you know, I ended up, you know, parting ways, and I think for a while they had a mandolin player instead of fiddle. So, I mean, Too Many Banjos prevailed for a while after I stopped playing. And then Mark started, you know, Fever Dream.
Yes.
I mean, Mark has done a ton. He's such a prolific songwriter. I love him so much as a human being and as an artist. Really, it was just him kind of cycling through all the things he does. And I think it was maybe a year or two ago, I just got the phone call, like, hey, I was thinking of booking some Too Many Banjos shows, just like a small little run. Would you be in? And, I mean, of course, my answer was yes. I'm never going to not want to play those songs because I love them so much.
if you came back in my life.
We're talking with Jillian Ray, our feature for our first Center Stage Minnesota concert of 2020. She and her band will be in Grand Rapids tomorrow night, January 16th. Tickets are available at rifecenter.org. So Jillian, your life story begins on the Iron Range near Eveleth. How do you think growing up there shaped who you are?
I'm sure there's a ton of reasons. Like anytime I go up north, my accent definitely slips out more. So I mean, there is that. It's just, you know, that Iron Range blood runs deep. I don't know, that small town Minnesota nice thing that actually exists up on the Iron Range. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty lucky to have been able to grow up around that, because I do think that no matter how much you travel or where you live, like there is a sense of that sticks with you. And, you know, I enjoy that no matter where I'm at, I kind of just always have this like small town, everybody's welcome kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Just as I go about life, I guess. That being said, I do love living in Minneapolis. Like, I do call it my home, and I love all the big cities that I've traveled to, but there's just something special. It's nice to be able to have that juxtaposition of, you know, getting away to the Iron Range, getting away from all the busy hustle and bustle, and then just, like, really feeling, like, at peace and at home.
So speaking of the Iron Range, you were just part of our last Great Northern Radio show in Hibbing this fall.
Yeah. That was amazing.
Had you ever been on a variety radio show before?
Honestly, like I've done a lot of stuff, and sometimes it's hard for me to just on the spot remember everything, but I don't think I've ever done anything like that. Not live. It was just a total blast, and I would do that all the time if I could.
So one thing I loved about your performance on the Great Northern Radio Show was your passion on stage. You are, like, seriously a performer. Have you always been comfortable being on stage as a singer? Obviously, as a violinist,
yeah,
that was different.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much for saying so. I honestly, sometimes I'll see video footage of me performing after the fact, and I'm just like, wow, I'm doing all that stuff. Like, I'm not really always conscious of it mm-hmm. in the moment. I just feel like when, you know, I start playing or singing, when like the music starts happening, I just let it take over, and that's what I have to do to get it out, you know, the best way that I can. But yeah, I mean, I've been playing the violin since I was 7 and performing pretty much nonstop since I was 8. So I was that little ham of a kid mm-hmm. that always wanted to like put on shows and sing for people and play for people. So honestly, other than classical music auditions when I got older, I don't ever remember a time where I haven't been, you know, comfortable and happy on stage.
So this is a new music show. So I want to know, what was your most listened to new release of 2019?
Actually, your favorite, Wayward One.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Oh, you're talking about like what I'm listening to. I'm sorry. I thought you meant of my song.
No, that's okay. I like knowing that too.
Oh, God. If you knew how much cold medicine I'm on right now, I think you would be proud of me for being able to speak and
you've really held it together.
Sentences.
So how about your favorite new release of anyone's, Minnesota or otherwise, last year?
Oh, man, I know that I'm probably, like, super, super late to the game, but I usually stick into, like, my, you know, indie music realm. Like, I'm aware of what is, like, you know, the popular stuff on the charts, and mostly because of my students. I teach violin and voice, and especially my voice students. Like, when they're bringing stuff in, that's kind of the way that I'm kind of connected to like what's super hip and popular,
right.
You know,
yeah.
With like, you know, the norm of everyone. But when I finally had a listen to the newest Billie Eilish record, that was my absolute obsession. I've like picked it apart. I've listened to it in my headphones, in the car, in the studio monitors. And I just truly think it's a work of art.
That's a great one. And I think that album it was popping up on anyone and everyone's list, people who follow pop music, people who are total indie snobs, and I think that says a lot about the record.
Totally. I mean, really, you can, you know, enjoy, you can have your favorite, whatever it is, but I mean, good music is good music.
Right.
And that is some really good music.
Anyone in Minnesota that's just kind of exciting to you that's getting on the scene or that you've seen at other shows?
Oh man, there are so many. I finally, for the first time, saw The Bad Men.
Yes, we played their album. That was that a really fun show?
Yeah, so I don't get to go to shows as much as I'd like to because I'm playing like probably too much. I need to like schedule some nights to just like specifically go see other people.
Yeah.
But I shared the stage with Peter, the lead singer, at the Replacements tribute show this past year. It happens every like Black Friday. And so I saw him do a couple Replacement covers and he just blew me away. He is such a crazy, awesome performer. So then from there, I caught a couple Bad Men, like, you know, videos, and I, you know, bought all their music and all that stuff. But yeah, I really love them. A good friend of mine, Sarah Morris, she's putting out a new record next month.
Oh yeah, we just got that one in.
I love everything that she does.
Yes.
So there's that, her duo with Vicki Emerson, The Home Fires.
You just played a show with the both of them, didn't you?
Yeah, well, it was kind of an atraditional thing. It was a songwriter's round, so we didn't have our bands with us. It was just the three of us just playing our song solo with a guitar, which for me is extra exciting and scary because usually I make Eric play the guitar and I play the violin. So, yeah, that was a fun and special show. I hope we can do it again.
We've been talking with Jillian Ray. Her new album, I Can't Be the One You Want Me to Be, is out now. She is our feature for our first Center Stage Minnesota concert of 2020 tomorrow night, January 16th. You can get your tickets at rifecenter.org. Thanks so much, Jillian. We're really excited to have you be a part of this series.
Thank you. I'm so excited to play music for you.
You know exactly what.